Blog Talk Radio.
Regal Poet Radio.
Welcome, everyone, to the Regal Poet Radio Show. We are the conduit for the poet and entrepreneur. I am your host, Imone and Prosper, and just getting ready to bring you another impactful episode of the Regal Poet Radio Show. Today, it's all about the academics. We are about 3 weeks into school, most of us are. And one thing I challenge everyone this year is to get prepared, not just get ready. We spend a lot of time getting school supplies and, you know, the right clothing, but how much time are we spending with our young people setting goals and setting lofty ones at that, that they really have to push and strive for, not just waking up early. We need bigger goals than that. Then there are the artists. We definitely have to set the bar and goals for ourselves. We're not exempt from that. And many times that is academically. There's so many opportunities that are available to contemporary artists that we are not engaging in and we're not taking full advantage of. So our guest today, he's definitely taking advantage of the academic goals that he has. Chris Massenberg is Dusan Ahanu, poet, MC, writer, playwright, performance artist. He's a lecturer and educator. You know, Dusan has had great control on his professional career as an artist. He is an assistant professor of English at St. Augustine's University, a resident artist with St. Joseph's Historic Foundation and the Haiti Heritage Center, managing director of Black Poetry Theater. He's a member of the Universal Zulu Nation, the Black Jedi Chapter, founder, coordinator, and coach of the Jambalaya Soul Slam Bull City Slam Team, which is how I've actually have been contacted with him. So how I actually knew about him. How about that? Let's say it that way. And recently he was chosen. as a recipient of the Nazir Jones Hip Hop Fellowship, established by Hip Hop Archive and W.E.B. Du Bois Institute of Harvard University, and that is a year fellowship. And so I said, you know what, this has been heavy on my heart about the academics. I definitely, and this, the day I said that, he made an announcement on Facebook that he received that award, and I said, you know what, I'm reaching out to him because there's no coincidence. So thank you, Dusan, for being on the show with us.
No problem. Thank you for having me.
Yeah, no, it's my pleasure. This is, first of all, congratulations for the fellowship award. It's such a cool thing. You know, I'm a big fan of Nas, so of course I was like, what? That's great. But at the same time, I'm a big fan of fellowships and the way we can push ourselves academically. And your roster really shows that you're really pushing yourself. So I appreciate you for doing that.
Oh, no problem. It's one of those things where you you try to do the best you can. You try to do as much as you can, and try to give back to this art form that gives so much to you.
Absolutely. Now, they're the first question that I always ask my guests, but I just want to ask you about your name first. What does your name mean? What does Dusan Ahanu mean?
Well, Dusan, I'll tell you what they mean individually, and then I'll tell you how I translate it. Dusan Ahanu is Native American, and Dusan means ruler, and Ahanu generally means someone who laughs. And so I explain that it means someone who commands with a sense of humor.
Nice.
My grandmother was very proud of, you know, her Native American heritage as well as her Black heritage. And that's something I heard a lot about growing up because she was very proud of my great grandmother's features, who she felt like I shared. And I do look a lot like my dad, and who's her son. And so that stuck with me when I decided, to choose, a pseudonym for myself.
Nice. Oh, that's beautiful. I love it. Now, the question I do usually ask first is, do you consider yourself as an artist entrepreneur, and what does that mean to you?
Yes, I do. I consider myself, you know, to be an artist entrepreneur as well as an arts organizer. For me, they go hand in hand, which is why I mentioned that. But I think that what that means is that, you know, not only do I create art and create content, but I also have taken responsibility for what I do with that art, you know, where I place it, how I place it, who I connect with, how I represent myself in my art, and of course, you know, how do I sustain me being an artist, and so that includes taking, you know, the time and energy to learn what being a professional artist means. With that came the opportunity to be able to create capacity for others, which is why I call pushing up, which is where the organizer comes in. But that idea of being an artist entrepreneur is a really important one for me because, you know, there's so many artists out who aren't full, you know, what some people consider to be full-time artists, but are professional artists. And I think that, you know, the distinction is along the lines of, you know, really focusing on entrepreneurship and what does it mean to be responsible for what happens with your art.
Yeah, and that's something that, you know, this show really, really drills in people, especially if you choose, like yourself, to be a professor, so, which means that you have a day job and still continue to be a professional artist. You know, it's not a bad thing. You know, you can marry the two and you can be prolific in both, which is good. For those of us that do not know, what is a fellowship?
Well, a fellowship is where there is an entity, whether it's an organization, an institution, or even the government, you know, whether it's a department of the government or some state, you know, some department of the state government that provides, you know, resources to support artists, you know, researchers, scholars in, you know, contributing to whatever their area of expertise is. Very often it's to support, you know, someone, you know, furthering their research, the creation of a new piece of art, or, you know, the analysis, the study of other artists, and contributing that way. So it's just, you know, it's an opportunity, a funded opportunity, for a person to be able to dedicate time away specifically to whatever their area of expertise is, whatever the art is.
Yes, and this is what I tell people all the time. You need that time away, so why wouldn't you want to be in charge of your career if you know that it takes time for you to develop and craft your work? So a lot of times people say, well, no, it's for the love. Yes, it's still for the love, but there's a sustaining that you need to do, and I'm glad that there are fellowships out there that understand that and give you the opportunity for a certain number of months or years for you to be able to kind of even do that kind of research. As a matter of fact, the Nazir Jones Hip Hop Fellowship is for a year. You're there at Harvard for a year. What's the actual end goal of that fellowship?
Well, you know, there's sort of kind of a dual thing. For the goal for the fellowship is, you know, to support, you know, ongoing study and creation, you know, in hip hop, you know, just kind of, you know, furthering contributions to the culture. But, you know, and for me, you know, the outcome is to kind of add to the dialogue and discussion around hip hop and hip hop culture. And so, you know, I'm here working on a project that I propose, which is centered all around studying and taking a look at lyricism and trying to figure out how to take a, a different look at lyricism. It's not like lyricism hasn't been examined in a number of different ways before, but I think that my background as both an MC and a poet and a performance artist, you know, I want to come at it a different way. And so I'm here to see if, you know, those thoughts and ideas running around in my head make sense. and you know, to be in a place where, you know, and that's what the fellowship provides, where I can have put my hands on a number of hip-hop resources, any book that's been written about hip-hop, you know, magazines, documentaries, movies, film clips, you know, all these things that are here for me to, you know, to dig through this idea and flesh it out until it becomes a real thing and I can move towards, you know, figuring out what kind of project I want and what contribution that I want to make to the conversation.
Okay, well, that was a sneak peek that I was asking you for before, which is great. Yeah, and I just love it. It's almost like you're a scientist going to dissect hip-hop, which who doesn't love that, you know?
Man,
and,
yeah.
We do it all the time anyway.
Right.
Those of us that are hip hop junkies and stylistics, that's we do that all the time anyway. And here's an opportunity for you to just work with Hip Hop Archive and have that full access. It's like a B-boy's paradise, you know, intellectual mm-hmm. B-boy's paradise, which is great. And I really like the fact that you chose lyricism, because that is something that us poets, when we have the discussion about hip hop, we start talking about beats and we then start talking about lyrics. I think that's awesome that you're covering pretty much something that we think about all the time. And just like I'm pretty sure you told your students and I've tell my students, you know, take what's already out there and change it and make it your own. So that's I can't wait to see what you come up with lyricism, which is cool. How did you actually hear about the program?
I found out I knew about the archive. I had heard about, you know, just listening to, you know, just having conversations with scholars, like, you know, Dr. Mark Anthony Neal, Dr. James Peterson, just having a chance to listen to folks talk, and knew that there was a hip hop archive at, there's also one at Cornell, which I also found out about. And so I knew that those were the places where there were these archives. I didn't know about the fellowship until Ninth Wonder got it. And, you know, he's the person who founded the chapter that I'm a president of Universal Zulu Nation. We're friends. We've known each other for a very long time. And he, you know, chronicled his year of residency in the fellowship in a documentary called The Hip Hop Fellow. And so he came back, you know, talking about the fellowship and just raved about it. That just stuck with me. And then having, you know, known Dr. Mark Anthony Neal from Duke, you know, he did it the following year. And I was like, wow. He had so much to say about it. And so once I finally settled on what I wanted to do, because proposing the project is a part of the application. And so once I finally settled on what it is that I felt like I wanted to try to accomplish, I felt it was, you know, it was I felt it was right to go ahead and apply. And so that's what I did.
How long did it take for you to put this application together? Like, it must have been real heavy.
Well, it was you know, completing the application doesn't take that long. I spent more time trying to really figure out what I wanted to do. And so I had to kind of, you know, take a moment and, you know, dissect, you know, I was hitting Google. I was dissecting through, you know, stuff that was out there. And then conversations with Knife, conversations with other artists, and other folks who just really, really, you know, bleed the culture to just make sure that I was thinking the right way. And knowing that the project, you know, feeling like the project was going to need to both be I wanted it to fit both. I wanted it to fit me as an artist, but also to also, you know, be scholarly at the same time. And I also had a selfish reason. I wanted it to, for me personally in my career, I wanted it to open the door for me to do, you know, other similar kinds of things, because I feel like that, you know, what I'm hoping to kind of add to the conversation around the disease, I'm hoping that to do the same thing with spoken word artists, because I just feel that there's a need to do that as well. So, you know, once I wrapped my mind around all of that, I had like lots of aspirations. Then I was able to just dig in. And then, of course, it's just, you know, writing a project proposal and making sure it made sense. I had a couple people read it, and I had a dear friend who's in film, it's her background, and she was like, okay, I'm not familiar, but it made sense to me. I was like, okay, great.
Yes, and when it makes sense to someone that doesn't know what you're talking about, yeah, then you know you're good to go. And as an artist, yeah, you gotta be selfish sometimes, because you want this information to go out, and so it doesn't surprise me that you're like, you know what, I want this because this is some more stuff I want to do. And this is actually not your first fellowship. You also had a fellowship with Center for Community Change in D.C. Do you search for these types of opportunities on your own? You know, you kind of really covered what's special about this one, but how do you stay so abreast on these types of things?
It's the value of your network. There was a field organizer who introduced me to the fellowship with the Center for Community Change, and I found out about that as they were piloting it. And so the second time around, I was able to participate. But, you know, just it sort of goes to something that I think you understand. It's just, you know, your circle of friends and associates and other artists are who they are, and you love them and care for them, but there also has to be within that a circle of folks who are also pushing, because, you know, as they push and discover, then you share and you talk, and then that's how you start to find and uncover things for each other, and that's how those opportunities come. And so now I'm more aware of these fellowships, and I'm digging and searching for them more, and I'm talking to other folks who are also looking, and so my scope of what I understand it out there is broader. So, you know, now I'm like, I'm really paying attention where I really wasn't a couple of years ago. So it's just the value of making sure that you have folks who are around you or that you're in communication with who are also out there trying to, like, continue to push themselves.
And that is so true. Yeah, and I can definitely agree with that. As a matter of fact, that was one of the questions that I had for you. We just happened to have one of your teammates on the program last time we had the show, Kane Smiegel was on, and he mentioned you and your mentorship towards him. I'm sure you paid him to do that. I'm just kidding. he showered you with compliments, which is awesome. And as he described your influence in his life, especially as an artist, it reminded me of a quote from Sidney Poitier, and I referenced that to him, where Sidney Poitier stated, "The measure of a man can truly be determined by the success of his children." And then the late Dr. Miles Monroe also said something similar in regards to leadership. He said something similar to that, and you seem to have ambitious artists around you, and you also have a lot of young people and Kane being one of them that you're in contact with. What is the most important skill set or principle you find important to instill within them as artists?
You know, two things that I've always, you know, tried to make sure to instill. One is to never be complacent, to never, you know, box yourself in, you know, to never, you know, never narrow your possibilities, you know. So that's the main one. So, you know, I always, you know, press. I know you love the art, but don't ignore your other talents and abilities and figure out where they intersect, because those will always open the doors for yourself. And so, you know, he's one of those folks that's done that, who has a number of different skills, and his ability with poetry opened, you know, opened the first door, but it's recognizing how that intersects with his other skills that have opened other doors. And then the second thing is to, you know, be dedicated to the craft, which is not just being dedicated to what you do, but being open and, you know, observant of what other people do across artistic genres and what they do well and how they do it, and how does that enhance your own art and you as an artist. So, you know, always be dedicated to the craft of being an artist, of being a writer, being a poet, being a performer. And if you're dedicated to the craft, then you're always seeking opportunities to learn. So those are the two things, because I felt like that would, you know, that would always feed them, you know. And it's like Karis wanted to say back in the day, when you do things well, it's insurance, because people always ask you back. So, you know, that was the kind of thing that I pushed on them.
Yeah, good. And it shows, and I had mentioned that on the show as well, that it's not just, I like the fact that it's not just you, or it's not just Kane, that's really thriving within that team, especially the Bull City Slam team. It's really all of you guys are branching off. G's doing great things as well. You know, it's all of you guys have spanned out in different areas and are shining. And that, to me, I feel that is important within a community of artists and a group period. It shouldn't just be one person that is succeeding. So I commended him, and I'm commending you as well for being able to kind of put that culture within the team.
Thank you. I appreciate that.
No problem. We are talking about setting goals. So tell us your process with that. You kind of touched upon that a little bit, but I just want to frame it where we're specifically saying setting goals, and how do you suggest artists engage and venture off to these opportunities, such as a fellowship like you're doing?
Mm-hmm. Well, you know, I believe in sort of long-term goals or short-term goals. One of the things I always stress with my students is if you don't have a, you know, you can have aspirations, but if you don't have a vision, then how are you ever going to know when you've ever gotten anywhere? So, you know, you need to always, you know, have this tangible vision. Don't ever let anybody tell you it's not possible, you know, but very tangible. Like, what does it feel like? What does it look like? It'll adjust as you, you know, gain and move and grow, but you should have it, because if, you know, you won't ever know when you've gotten it if you never bother to think about what it looks like. So I set long-term goals first. And then I start to kind of, you know, in order to monitor myself, because I'm an artist, and so we sway with the wind. I set short-term goals. I set short-term goals for myself, and I adjust how short, depending on how much I feel myself swaying. You know, if I'm swaying a lot, then it's like from week to week, because I got to keep myself focused.
Right.
When I feel like I'm really dialed in, then I can move, you know, every few months, like what kind of things. And it's always, you know, and then always reflecting back on how that, you know, impacts my overall vision. But I have to do it that way, because I have to, you know, I have an artist's mind, and it wants to, you know, dream. And so, but, you know, it's just like, you know, establish. And let's sidebar for a second. This is the thing about this artist entrepreneur. Essentially what I learned is that for myself, that is the same as maintaining a vision and a mission statement for me as an artist. You know, your vision is what you want to accomplish, and your mission is how you're going to get there. And mine always
right.
adjusts, but by once, you know, once the entrepreneur of me, like, focused in on that, and I started kind of, you know, having to remember that as I helped to build some, you know, some business things in my community, it keeps me focused on remembering that I have to operate the same way. I have a larger vision, but I have to always keep coming back to, okay, what am I doing right now for that? What am I planning to do next? And so that kind of same thing. And that's how those two feed each other. And then in terms of looking for opportunities, I feel like it's two things. One, just kind of, you know, just digging in and researching and Googling, you know, putting some keywords in. There are a lot of, you know, whether it's grants, fellowships, or residencies, which a lot of people overlook, but, you know, there are a variety of things that fit where you are in your life. You never know which one of them is going to be a catalyst. You may not have a lot of time, so why not do a residency and fill it in one of the times, or blocks of time you have free. Everybody needs a break. And like you mentioned mm-hmm. earlier, you need that time to concentrate on your writing. And when you're balancing life, it can get tough, especially the further you get in. Like, you know, if you're a full-time artist, then you're constantly hustling to sustain yourself. So unless, you know, without one of these programs, when are you going to find time to really, really sit and flesh out that next project? If you, you know, are someone who has a day job, then, you know, your time is even more rigid, because whatever time you're not spending at your job is spent with your art. And so you need to have these kinds of things help you to plan and organize and have a reason to organize time dedicated to your craft. So to dig, grants, fellowships, or residencies. And then, you know, and then once again, like you said, like I was saying earlier, you know, you've got to, you know, sometimes people think of professional networks, you know, working in corporate America. But, you know, even in the artist community, I have, you know, my arts family, you know, but I have my professional community. Those are those artists within the arts community that I sit and build with. And I constantly am picking their brain, they're picking mine, and they help me continue to push and reach and think, because they're doing the same thing. I'm like, did you see this? And I'm like, no, they should go to this website. I'm like, ooh. And I'm like, I heard about this. And those are those folks that I know that I can always check in with. So you need that kind of, it's like an investment club. It's like any of these other formations that are dedicated to taking a group of people and keeping them focused on elevating themselves. You need to form that. And, you know, so that, you know, sometimes it's very hard to keep pushing yourself if there aren't other people, like-minded folks around you, to remind you that what you're pushing for makes sense and is worthwhile. You can get dejected out here.
That sound bite alone is just so perfect. That's a rewind moment.
I mean, it's
very,
it's
so true.
Yeah, and you know, and so many people respect and love art, but they don't really understand the process from the idea to the creation of the art. And, you know, and there'll sometimes be barriers along the way as you're trying to get to the point of producing the next thing, because they don't understand it. And so if you don't have like-minded folks around you, you know, it can be tough. And it's, you know, it's one of those things where art is, you know, creating and art and putting it in people's hands is so much more accessible today because of social media and all these other means. But the understanding of how this whole thing really works is still very privileged, you know? So there's a bunch of us out here just trying. And if you don't have a circle
right.
of folks who help and build, like, a body of knowledge, then, you know, you can be spinning your wheels. And if you spin your wheels too
right.
long, you're just going to be like, bump it, you know? I'm either going to do what I'm comfortable doing, or I'm just, you know, just quit.
It's almost like, you know, the difference between, hey, a pipe dream and a real dream, you know, that
mm-hmm.
that because dreams are supposed to come true, but there's that element of work. And like you said, that privileged information that very few artists share with each other, that I'm trusting to break that barrier with this show. But, you know, you doing a fellowship and being on the show and talking to other people and like-minded individuals, then that community rises all over again, and the belief system it can be developed, you know. So before, I'm pretty sure people are like, okay, what is an associate professor of English doing at a Nas Hip Hop Fellowship? And so this is your time to talk about your love for hip hop. There has to be a love there. You wouldn't just go
mm-hmm.
and spend all of this time. So just quickly tell us, you know, what was your influence
You know, I'm a hip hop head. I've always been. I consider myself to be a representative of the culture. And I take that seriously because it is my culture. It's like, you know, growing up, that's how I came to understand the world. And it was, you know, a way of me, you know, affirming my own sense of self, my own individualism, my own sense of intelligence. So, you know, it's kind of crazy because poetry and spoken word, you know, kind of opened the world for me. You know, I was very, you know, I was a very private, reserved kind of person. And, you know, poetry and spoken word opened the door for me. But everything that I did and have done as a poet is influenced by hip hop. And so, you know, those two things go hand in hand. And specifically the culture, everything that comes with the culture of hip hop. You know, so many people think of hip hop and they really mean rap music. And, you know, they overlook the fact that there's a culture built around this thing. And so much of that is even a part of what I did in the English department. It's actually part of how I ever got the opportunity, was because, you know, I brought something to that English. I was, you know, a mentor of mine thought that I could bring something to that English department that wasn't present at the time. And then I got there and they actually found out I was damn good at what I do. So it's like, oh, and so that's they were the ones who encouraged me to get my master's degree so that I could continue to have one foot in academia and one foot in the arts world. So it wasn't like, you know, that was even my, you know, me being, you know, an Isaiah Jones fellow at the Hip Hop Archive is something that I was, was something that I could see myself doing. Teaching in the English department was something that I never saw doing. So, you know, it's just that, you know, being where I was in the arts community that I got kind of, you know, nurtured into, led me to the teaching opportunity first. And I think that, of course, you know, everything in right order, that was the way for me to be able to get here. I don't, you know, right. Because it helped me to understand everything that I needed to prepare myself for being able to spend a year with my head immersed in hip hop, right? So, but it's just, the culture means a lot to me. The music, you know, music means, you know, there's so many things that I go through in life that the first thing I do is read my music. And hip hop is a big part of that. Creating hip hop has always been a big part, a big thing for me. You know, I'm one of those folks who go to local shows, support local artists. You know, that's just me. So, you know, the opportunity to be able to come do this was a no-brainer for me.
Right. That's, yeah. And I love how, again, you're just talking about, it's kind of like, you know, a village help build up your career. It's not just you, but this village carried you and nurtured you. So that's a good sentiment for North Carolina. I'm pretty sure people are going to want to move out to them. The secret sauce is out there in terms of community development, which is awesome, and community building. And I like that you said that you didn't see yourself as an English professor. So those people out there, some of the artists that I run into, they don't see themselves in the academia. So for them to have the opportunity or be more encouraged that, okay, you may not see yourself, but if someone sees something in you, take that opportunity and run with it. The institutions may have been nothing that you wanted to engage in before, but if someone sees something in you, go ahead and still jump into it or find a different avenue to build yourself as an artist and your skill set, because that's what it's all about at the end of the day, building yourself up as an artist. So your last thing, what would you say to those people that don't go the route of academia to kind of push themselves, elevate themselves as a spoken word artist?
Well, the other thing is, you know, it doesn't have to be academia. You know, there's so many other there's so many other things within the arts world. You know, and it also, I really have to say this, it also doesn't have to be running are being tied to a nonprofit organization, which is the other things that most artists feel they have to do. If they're not teaching, they feel they have to be a part of a nonprofit organization. But it doesn't. That's not the case. The piece of advice that I offer is to do more research about all the things that happen behind the scenes in the arts world, and not just in your local arts community, because more often than not, it'll look like, educational programs, event promotion and planning, and teaching. But there's so much more, so many more things that go on, and you may find things that fit your skill set, and then you can start to kind of plan both your development as an artist and then your future in the arts field. The idea of being a professional artist doesn't mean that, you have to, hustle all day, grind all day, or struggle. Like, that's not what it means. It means that your art is your profession. And however you use that, whether it's the creation of your particular art, or whether you use those same skill sets as a contractor for a company that may need innovative and creative content for a marketing campaign. There are a number of different avenues and different ways and intersections you've got to dig for. And what they'll do is they'll sustain your art until you've capacity to then, determine your own future. So that's the biggest thing. I mean, that's the one thing I was blessed with being, had my eyes open to early. And I took a period where every time there was an opportunity, I figured out how to do it. And either the opportunity taught me new skills, but it also introduced me to people who later came back and was like, well, here's this other thing that I think you might like. And I was like, yeah, I will be there. Those are the people who gave me my job. Like, they got me away from corporate America. Skill sets that I have are because of the people that I met taking advantage of opportunities who helped me change the course of my life and now I'm here.
Awesome. Perfect. That's such an awesome ending. How can we stay connected with you and follow your upcoming projects?
Dasana Hanu, DASANAHANU, on everything, all social media, Twitter, Instagram, the website is dasanahanu.com, Facebook, LinkedIn, everything. I'm the only person with that name, so if you can just remember that, DASANAHANU, you can follow that.
Perfect branding.
And I'll be, which is a whole other conversation, because it always bothers me when I'm looking at people on Google and they have the same name as somebody else. It always bothers me. But I also will be chronicling, my whole time here on a blog, a very, very good up-and-coming blog called Eternal Graffiti. So if you look for that blog, Eternal Graffiti, you'll be able to, monthly read about my adventures here at Harvard Earn Fellowship.
Okay. And we'll definitely put those links up, like I always do, on the Twitter page. And any photos or anything we find, we'll put that on the Instagram page as well under Regal Poet. So thank you, Dasan, for being on the program with us today. This was definitely an archivable program. There's plenty of sound bites to educate people here, and I appreciate you being able to give this awesome information in the middle of your fellowship, at that. So thank you so much for that. We so appreciate it. So stay regal, my friend. Stay regal.
Thank you. I appreciate it.
Not a problem. Not a problem. And you can come back anytime, especially when you're done in a year. Ooh. Maybe we'll have another show. I know, right? You're like, I can't even think that far right now. We will have another show to talk about, what you've projected. Because, like I said, I love the topic. Lyricism is just a perfect topic. Now, so you are welcome to the show at any time. All right, guys. So that is all the show we have. Stay connected to all that Dasan is engaged in. You heard all of the links. Like I said, we'll put it on our social medias. Let us know how you are pushing yourself academically as an artist. We want to hear about it. Share it on any one of our social media accounts under Regal Poet, R-E-G-A-L-P-O-E-T-E. Tune in next time where we'll pack in another half hour with entrepreneur content that will definitely be proven to make any arts business absolutely regal. Just make sure as you are doing your art to be yourself and be regal. Have a great day.
You are listening to the Regal Poet Radio Show with your host, Imone M. Prosper. Are you tired of being undervalued as an artist? Do you have a passion to sell your art but don't know where to start? Are you on a successful path but need encouragement? Tune in to the Regal Poet Radio Show, the conduit for the poet entrepreneur. Every week, we focus on topics that are set for the professional artists fully engaged in the creative economy. I am your host, Imone M. Prosper, poet, entrepreneur, and the advocate for the creative arts economy. Our mission is to feed the artists who spend their life creating profound experiences within their art with the best practical and advanced practices they need to be empowered, energized, confident, and prepared. If you are a beginner, you need this. If you're a seasoned veteran, you need this. And with 12 years of experience behind me, the Regal Poet Radio Show is not only designed to deliver the best information, but this platform allows you to hear from successful industry leaders and poet entrepreneurs making a major impact in the world of poetry. What we know is that it is easy to find an open mic to perform, but there are a small number of places for the professional poets to go to learn how to build a thriving poetry career or business. Tune in to the Regal Poet Radio Show, the conduit for the poet entrepreneur, as we focus every week on the topics to help build up your entrepreneurial of the arts business. Share, leave a comment, or chat live on blogtalkradio.com/Regal Poet, where I am committed to developing not only a respected line of professional poets, but savvy poets with additional E on the end for entrepreneur. And come get poet savvy with Regal Poet Radio.